God promised King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body. I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son." Now, obviously, the son of David, Solomon, did build the house, the temple. We know that this promise that God made, this prophecy, reached further than that, because in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5, these words of verse 14, "I will be his father and he shall be my son," are applied to Jesus Christ, who was the son of David. But there was a time in the history of the kings of Judah where it seemed as if this promise that God made might not take place. In fact, it looked as if the kingly line of David's descendants was going to be extinguished. Asa was the great-grandson of Solomon, David's son, and he had a son named Jehoshaphat who ruled over the southern kingdom of Judah. In the northern kingdom, you had Omri, who had a son whose name was Ahab, and he was one of the most wicked kings of Israel. He married Jezebel. Most of us know about them, and they had three children, Ahaziah, Jehoram, and Athaliah. And their daughter, Athaliah, married the son of Jehoshaphat, whose name was Jehoram. And, of course, Jehoshaphat had other sons, but from this marriage, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, in a sense, were united. And it tended to corrupt the good southern kingdom from what happened. And so this union between Athaliah and Jehoram then brings about some bloodshed, because Athaliah and Jehoram have some sons. One of their sons becomes king. His name is also Ahaziah. And then they have a daughter named Jehosheba. And when Ahaziah, who was king, died, Athaliah, who was mother to him, she wanted to consolidate power. So in 2 Kings chapter 11, we find that she sets about to kill all of the royal descendants. And so this means she's killing her own sons, she's killing her own grandsons, and she pretty much extinguishes all of David's lineage. But she missed one heir. She missed a baby boy whose name was Joash. And Jehosheba, her daughter, the aunt of Joash, hid the sucking infant and his nurse in a room, and Athaliah did not know that he existed. And so for 7 years, he was hid from the queen who was in power. And when he was 7 years old, Jehosheba's husband, who was the high priest, Jehoiada, brought him out. And they had the guards there at the temple, and they anointed him king. And they said, "Long live the king." And when Athaliah heard of this commotion of them celebrating this new king, she came out, and she saw this, and she yelled, "Treason, treason." And right then, the guards took her out from the temple, out to the horse gate, and they killed her there. And Joash became king at 7 years old. We maybe have some seven-year-olds in the audience tonight. Can you imagine being king or queen at that age? Such a tender, vulnerable age. And yet, even though it looked like God's promise wouldn't take place, God spared even this child. And so God is able to protect even the most helpless and harmless. He's able to work out his plans even when it seems like powerful people align themselves against his plans. Of course, we know that a son later then was born to Joseph and Mary, and he would become King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He was the fulfillment of 2 Samuel 7, and his name was Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And God protected him in Matthew chapter 2 from King Herod when he killed all of the children 2 years and under in his realm. And so here you have God again protecting this baby. And so out of the mouth of babes, God has ordained strength. And God's strength is made perfect in weakness. In fact, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 12, we read, "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet. Her head had a garland of 12 stars, and she was with child, and she cried in labor and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and it was a great fiery dragon having 7 horns and 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his head. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, and they should feed her there for 1,260 days. And a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was their place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he's cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And John said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And so this shows us that God is able to protect his people, even when Satan's forces seem insurmountable, even when it seems like this great big dragon ready to devour this child that's about to be born, God is able to protect his people. So we live in a day and a time where if you turn on the news, you might think that the Lord's church will never survive with all of the insurmountable enemies to the truth that are out there. But remember that God keeps his promises and he protects his people. In Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says that you and I, if we're Christians, we are children of God. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you haven't become a child of God tonight. Galatians 3 tells us about how to become one. It says, for you are all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Chapter 4 then goes on to talk about how the children of God under the Old Testament were children of bondage, which is Hagar, which is Mount Sinai in the desert. But Christians are children of promise, children of Sarah, children of the free woman, and we're of Mount Zion. And verse 26 of chapter 4 of Galatians says that Jerusalem that is above is the mother of us all. And so the church is made up of children of God, and the church is the people of God that are protected by him. And the church is what Galatians 6 and verse 16 says is the Israel of God today. You think about when God chose Israel in the Old Testament and he protected that nation that was of slaves, really, and he even delivered them by means of a baby being pulled out of the Nile River. You see, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. But he talks to Israel in the Old Testament and he talks about the love that he had for them when nobody else had love for them. When they were helpless, when they were vulnerable, it was only because of him that they lived. In Ezekiel chapter 16, he gives this graphic description of Israel and how helpless they were and how they would not have lived without him. He says, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations and say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. You see, they had developed from these pagan backgrounds. They were not faithful to God. They inculcated some of those false religions. And you and I today, if we're children of God, we have to be careful that we don't become children of the wicked one, that we don't inculcate those same things as well. But he goes on to say, as for your nativity, on the day that you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you. And of course, a newborn baby would need those fluids rinsed off. You were not rubbed with salt, and salt was kind of an antiseptic for the newborn baby, and you weren't wrapped in swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of those things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into an open field when you were yourself loathed in that day when you were born. And yet God portrays himself as this compassionate passerby who in verse 6 says, when I passed by you and I saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. See, the only reason you and I can have life is because of the compassion of God. And tonight, God gives you the offer to live. He made Old Testament Israel live, and they did not appreciate his blessings. They forgot them.
We have far greater blessings today under the New Testament. And what God is saying to you is to live. Will you tonight obey the gospel by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism? Become a child of God and live. Receive his wonderful blessings. Maybe you've done those first things and you started to align yourself with a different father, with the devil. We plead that you would come back. If you're a child of God, he will protect you. He'll see you through to the end. He'll welcome you home to be with him forever. And so we invite you to make sure that you are there as a faithful child of God tonight, while together we stand, while we sing.
Soul, our Savior, thou art needing. Soul, our Savior, waits for thee. Hear his words of tender pleading. Hear his gracious come to be. He is calling, softly calling on thine ear. His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling, come to be and be at rest. He has died for thy transgression. If thou wilt, thou canst be free. Soul, he waits for thy confession. Savior, I will go to thee. He is calling, softly calling on thine ear. His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling, come to be and be at rest. Do not linger till the morrow. Let thy loving answer be. Savior, in my joy or sorrow, I will ever go to thee. He is calling, softly calling on thine ear. His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling, come to be and be.